This is More Than Conquerors with your Bible teacher, Pastor Ray Hagestilianos. As a teaching pastor for almost 30 years, Pastor Ray's heart and vision is simply to build up God's army, enabling them to stand strong in their faith. As the senior pastor at Living Word Christian Church in White Plains, New York, Pastor Ray will challenge you today to begin your walk in integrity and victory, forever changing your life as transformed by the power of God. More Than Conquerors is supported by the generous gifts of listeners like you. You can find us online by going to livingwordchurch.org.
In a loveless world filled with unlovely people, why does God tell us to walk in love? If Jesus said that the second greatest commandment is to love one's neighbor as we would love ourselves, does that mean to simply do him no harm? Or should I bless him too? How should I respond to him being unloving towards me? Is this love a mere feeling, or is it something far more? And because God has made no man perfect, might walking in love with our neighbor sometimes be a difficult thing? In Pastor Ray's brand new two-week series, Loving Your Neighbor by Walking in Love, we'll see that this walk is all about building a powerful, unselfish, God-centered relationship, especially with one's neighbor, but ultimately with God. Over these next 2 weeks, Pastor Ray will take us step by step on a lifelong journey of how best to love God, your neighbor, and yourself by simply walking in love.
Why is love so important when we're talking about faith? Well, according to Galatians chapter 5, and the Bible says, verse 6, "For in Christ Jesus neither circumcision nor uncircumcision avails anything, but faith working through love." Faith working through love. Or another version says, faith expressing itself through love. So, you know, we can learn, and what I've learned from this is that really love fuels our faith. And we need the two to be operating together. Like, you know that faith and hope operate together. We went through a couple of weeks in teaching about faith and hope and how they operate and how necessary, you know, hope is to your faith, and how faith and hope, you know, faith needs a hope in order to make something happen. Well, likewise, faith needs love. Love, according to this verse, is, you know, really makes your faith work. Let's put it this way. Love is the fuel of your faith. Love is the fuel of your faith. And love and faith need to be operating together in order for there to, you know, be success and to have good results. I think that love is something that we need to really work on in our lives. We really do. I think that the Bible talks about love from Matthew right through to Revelation. The subject, the theme of love, keeps showing itself in one way or another. Yes. And if love shows up so much in the New Testament, I would think that this is an important topic for us as believers to learn and to pay attention to, right? So, you know, we talked about a lot of different things, but where I landed the last few weeks was how do we love one another, basically? Let's kind of define a little bit more of what love is and what God expects of us and what the Word, you know, tells us and teaches us about love. So now today I wanted to just talk about a couple other things and see how far we get. But today I want to talk a little bit about love speaks truth with gentleness and compassion. Love speaks truth with gentleness and compassion. And we're basing this today, the verse is Ephesians chapter 4 and verse 15. "But speaking the truth in love may grow up in all things into him who is the head, Christ." Speaking the truth in love. Now, one of the things that I learned so long ago is that you can say anything you want to anyone, or anything that needs to be said to someone, and they will receive it, so long as you say it with the spirit of love. So often we have truth to share with someone, but it's the way we share the truth that determines whether it's going to be received or rejected. Amen. How many of you would agree with me? Amen. Many times you've spoken truth, but that truth went off because of anger, frustration, or arrogance, or know-it-all attitude. Anybody know what I'm talking about? And it hit the person in a negative way, and it was not received. In fact, it was rejected, and, you know, you maybe even lost a friend in the course of it. But If a person knows that you truly love them and you're truly on their side, if they've messed up in some way or they're doing something that's offensive to you or maybe sinful or whatever it be, it's going to be so much better received when you approach them with the spirit of love. Now, as a pastor, I've had to do a lot of correcting. I mean, this is something that I don't necessarily like to do because I just like everyone to play nice. If we all play nice with each other, we won't have to correct anything, right? So here's a word of advice for you. Just play nice. Let's all just play together and let's play nice. Be nice. Turn to somebody and say, be nice. Turn to somebody else and say, be nice. All right? Just be nice and then we won't have to correct anything, right? But unfortunately, not everybody, you know, is always nice. And not everyone's always pleasant. Not everyone's always submissive and, you know, obedient and doing what, you know. So there are oftentimes you have to correct people. And it's one of the things that I hate to do the most. I don't like to be smacking people's knuckles. I'm tired of it after 40 years of doing it. You would think that people would get it, you know. But just when you think they get it, you get a whole, you know, reality check and they don't get it, you know. So we got to start all over again. But I hate correcting. But what I learned over the years is that if you need to correct someone, and this is good for leaders, because leaders, if you're a leader, you're going to have to correct people. Whether you're a leader at work, you own a business, you're a manager, whatever it is, you have your own, you're going to have to correct people, right? But the truth of the matter is that if you correct people with the spirit of love, most of the time, maybe not 100%, if they're a Christian and they truly love God and their heart is really submitted to God and they see that you are too, probably 99.9% of the time, they're going to receive what you say with love and respect because it was given with love and respect, you see. Love always speaks truth, but it does so with gentleness and compassion. You can tell someone they have bad breath, that they have body odor. As long as you tell them with love, they will receive it from you and not be offended or hurt or insulted. It's the way you say things that makes the difference. That's why it's so important for us to perfect the love walk in our lives, because so much of what comes out of us, you know, is it could be hurtful to someone if we're not saying it with the spirit of love. So that's why the Bible says, speaking the truth in love, we may grow up. See, mature Christians, sincere Christians, Christians who are serious and mature in their walk with God, always seek to speak truth with the spirit of love. Amen. Because our you know, you see, your motivation isn't that you want to just get your point across. Amen. Your motivation isn't that you just want to chop somebody, you know, correct somebody and put them in their place. That's not the motivation. The motivation of love says, I want to help that person. I want that person to see that they have, you know, something needs to be corrected or fixed in their life, and I want to help them to get there because I truly, absolutely love them. I love them with the love of God. I recognize them as my brother or sister in the Lord, and I have a responsibility to correct, tell, and give truth and correction with and in the spirit of love. That's why it's so important for you and for me and for each and every one of us to be constantly perfecting our love walk, because I'm telling you what comes out, I've seen stuff come out of Christians' mouths and out of Christians', you know, lives that has been so hurtful and so, you know, unlovely, just terribly unlovely to the point that it is devastating to people. And then we wonder why, we can't have peace in the church, you know, because people are rude. I don't care how much Bible you tote around, how much Bible you can quote, how much Bible you have highlighted, how hard and fast you can pray in tongues. I don't really care. You prophesy over the chairs, over the drapes, over the woodwork. You're rude, man. You're rude, you know. Someone pokes you, you know it. Listen, you know what someone's full of when they get poked. Listen, when a sponge is filled with water and you squeeze it, what comes out? When a Christian is filled with the Holy Spirit and the love of God, when he's under pressure, what ought to be coming out? Love, the Spirit of God, Jesus. That's what comes out, right? So whatever you are saturated with is what's coming out of you when pressure is applied to you. That's what's coming out of you. So that's why it's so important for us to continue to grow and to develop in this love walk and be sure that we are filled with the love of God so that wherever we go, if we get pressured, we get squeezed, we get poked, we get pinched, only love is coming out of us. That's how you do it. But if all you're doing is meditating on angry thoughts, hateful thoughts, hurtful thoughts, disappointing thoughts, angry thoughts, if that's all you're meditating on all day long, then that when pressure comes, that's when people explode. You can always tell by people's reaction what they've been meditating on and what they've been thinking about. Boy, it's getting very quiet in this nice Presbyterian church this morning. You can tell right away what a person has been thinking about, because when pressure comes, it's going to really show, it's going to prove what's inside you. What's inside of you. And listen, don't feel condemned, because we all fail. We all have a hard time with that. But we have to work on it. We have to work on it. Amen?
Amen.
So love always speaks truth with gentleness and compassion. It always speaks truth with gentleness and compassion. There's a difference between someone who will beat you over the head with the Bible. You know, you shouldn't do that. The Bible says, bang, 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 bang. And someone who comes and gently, with a heart full of love, approaches you and says, my brother, my sister, you know, that action and activity doesn't really line up with the Word of God, man. I just want to pray with you, man. I just want to help you because I love you and I know God's got better for you. And you're short-circuiting the flow of blessings in your life because you're in sinful activity or sinful behavior in your life. There's a difference between beating somebody over the head with the Bible and really reaching out with a heart of love and compassion because you truly love that person and truly just want to help them. You see, there's a big difference. And I've been on both sides of that coin. I've been beaten with the Word in my early days as a young man coming up in the things of God. I've been beaten with the Word, but I've also been on the other side where people gently came and just gave me the Word and helped me to understand and truly had my best interest at heart. There's a difference. There's a difference. And we need to know that. So you could speak the truth in love. The same thing goes true for every married person here. I mean, I can go on and on about this all for the next hour. You know, you could say anything to your spouse, but it's the way you say it that's going to determine whether they're going to receive it or not. Boy, it's getting really quiet in this nice church. It's the way you say it to your partner. You should never speak out of anger. You should maybe pull back and think, and I've had to practice this, in my relationship. Not that I'm married. No, I'm not. But just with friends and co-workers and people in the church and people who are under my authority, before I respond, sometimes I got to pull back and just pray, Holy Spirit, how do I say this without being hurtful, without being arrogant, without coming across like I'm more spiritual? How do I say this in the spirit of humility? Amen. You see, and that's where God will show you. You know, sometimes you just got to pull back because your flesh just wants to take off. Your flesh just, you see. So we want to be sure that we're perfecting love in our lives, because we do have to speak truth sometimes. Amen. We have to speak truth, and we want to do it with the spirit of love, compassion, because that's really what ought to be motivating us, compassion for one another. In other words, we want to see each other succeed. You know, maybe you're not at that level yet, but you need to get there. Amen. You want to see your brother and sister in Christ do well. Amen. You want to see them get ahead. You want to see them be blessed, right? You want to see them, you know, I mean, this is a hard one, but sometimes your brother or your sister is going to, you know, is going to do better than you. Amen. But when you're walking in the spirit of love, you're not angry by that. You're not jealous of that. You're excited by that, because you see, I've always said, God, if you did it for them, you're going to do it. Listen, you're fulfilling your plan in their life. You're going to fulfill my plan in my life. You have a plan for me too. You see, and sometimes people get jealous of Christians, of other people. I hate that stuff. I hate that. When people start going down that line, they start talking like that, man, I just want to remove myself from it. When jealousy and envy starts to come up because somebody has more than I have, and, you know, and then suspicions come up, and the devil jumps on that, you know. I don't want to be a part of that, and you shouldn't either, because that's not walking in love. That's not walking in love. So sometimes, you know, your brother, your sister is doing better. You've got to cheer them on. You got to say, praise God. I've had to do that all my Christian life. I've had people that started churches way after I started my church, and their church has just exploded, and mine was just struggling to, you know, get started. I, you know, of course your flesh, like for a brief moment, wants to get, you know, but that's not love. That's not walking the love walk. That's not walking the love walk. I had to get that right. Now, I'm kind of straying, but that's all right, because we're talking about speaking the truth in love, but we're hitting love from every angle and every direction. So that's part of it, all right? So love speaks truth with gentleness and compassion. I want to talk about another one here today. Love covers another's imperfections. Let me read the verse. 1 Peter 4:8. And above all things, they'll put up on the screen, above all things, have fervent love for one another. Now listen, for love will cover a multitude of sins. Love doesn't expose another one's sins. Love covers a multitude of sins. In other words, love, let me put it to you this way, love covers, love forgives, love forgets, love lets it go. Love doesn't gossip about another's sin or another's imperfection. Love seeks to protect that person, right? Love protects a brother and a sister in the Lord at all times. Love covers a multitude of sin, right? So you may find out something about your brother or your sister that may be going on in their life. What are you going to do with that? You going to around and tell the whole church? Now, you all say no. Everybody, how many of you said no? Well, I hate to tell you this. In 40 years of being in the ministry, I found that to not be true. I would love to tell you that it's true, and thank you, because that's probably where your heart is. But the truth of the matter is, when people find out about somebody, it goes through the Christian grapevine like faster than Verizon can send a signal to your cell phone. It's the absolute truth. Christians love to gossip and to murmur. Let's just be truthful about it. Let's tell the truth. All right? Let's be honest. And where we fail and where we sin, we need to repent of it, we need to correct it, and we need to get it right. But I've seen this so much. Yeah. Now, I told you, you know, I'd love to come and give you a nice encouraging message, but I have to do a little surgery first. Before you get better, we have to do some surgery. So the Christian grapevine runs thick, and people love to speak. But you see, true love, when you're motivated by the spirit of love, you seek to cover your brother, your sister. Here's another thing I've seen happen in the body of Christ. People have had, how many of you in this room have a past? You know, I mean a bad past. All right, let me help you here, okay? If you didn't raise your hand, you ought to raise your hand because I'm talking to you. I mean, you've done things in the past that you're embarrassed about or, you know, ashamed of. You can, come on, be honest. Raise your hand. Everybody, raise your hand. We all have things, right? Right? We all have things that we wouldn't be here if we didn't. We wouldn't need Jesus if we didn't. Right? The whole reason why we need Jesus is because we all made a mess of life. We all came a mess to him, right? All right. As perfect as you want to think you are, you isn't. You ain't. As much as you, you know, slap on all the makeup, all the perfume, all the aftershave, put on the fanciest tie and suit you can put on. Listen, you were a mess just like the rest of us. Nobody came to God. So here's my point. So in the course of a church, in the life of a church, you get to know people, and I've seen this happen, and all of a sudden somebody finds out something about another person. Well, if it doesn't go through the Christian grapevine, which it usually does, did you know? Did you know? Don't tell anybody, but. Oh, that works. That works every time, right? When you say to somebody, don't tell them, man, that just puts gasoline on it. It's like, don't tell anybody. Woo! It just has a life of its own. Just takes off. Anybody know what I'm talking about? So they find out about somebody who came out of something in their life. They made a, you know, whatever. And people start. They start. Now you see, that's not the spirit of love. The Bible says that love covers a multitude of sin. So in a case like this, you find out someone's done something or been somewhere or whatever, but their life has been redeemed. They're serving Jesus now. Their heart has changed now. They're working their hardest to stay on the straight and narrow and serve God and, you know, try to forget the mistakes of the past. Who are you to take the information that you may have found somehow, some way, and use it against them as if they are not worthy to be in the church or not worthy to be a Christian or not worthy of your respect? Who are you? Who are you? You needed the same forgiveness because you have stuff in your closet. Fortunately, it hasn't come out yet. We as believers need to cover one another and protect one another and say, I love you, brother. I don't care where you've been, what you've done. All I care about is where you are going in God. Where you are going in Christ. Oh, I've seen it happen. Love covers a multitude of sin. It doesn't expose. It doesn't get an attitude towards a person. It doesn't reject a person. It doesn't blabber around the church to other people. It seeks to cover a person's sin or a person's struggle in their life. Because we all struggle. We're all struggling. But the only thing that matters is that we continue to struggle for righteousness. And we continue to struggle to live right before God. And when we mess up, you know my little saying, when we mess up, you have to fess up. Just confess your sins. Ask God's forgiveness. Pick yourself up. Mean it from your heart. And keep on going. But boy, wouldn't it be wonderful? My utopia would be that there would be a church of people who would know things about each other, but not hold them against each other, but rather see in that person the redemptive work of Jesus Christ. The redemptive work of Jesus Christ. Wouldn't that be a powerful day if we could get that working in the local church? He said, above all things, have fervent love for one another, for love will cover a multitude of sin. Love will cover a multitude of sin. Love will cover. Forgives, it forgets, it lets it go. It doesn't gossip. It doesn't talebear. It doesn't get an attitude towards someone. It says, I'm with you, brother, I'm with you, sister. We're going to get through this life together, and I'm proud of you. I'm proud that you're stepping up. It doesn't matter. Love covers a multitude of sin.
Tune in tomorrow afternoon at 2 for More Than Conquerors with Pastor Ray. If today's message was a blessing to you, ask for your free CD of the broadcast for a gift of any amount to help support this radio ministry. Just mail your request with your check to More Than Conquerors or MTC, P.O. Box 8187, White Plains, New York, 10602. Be sure to include the date of the message you're requesting. If ordering a complete Bible study series, a minimum love offering of $20 is appreciated. Identify the series and include the word series in your order. If you missed any of the hundreds of inspiring, life-changing Bible study messages of encouragement taught by Pastor Ray on this More Than Conquerors radio station, such as those on salvation, healing, miracles, faith, forgiveness, and many more, podcast downloads of all these programs are yours free of charge by simply going to PastorRayNY.com or WMCA.com and clicking on Podcasts. That's podcasts at either PastorRayNY.com or WMCA.com. Thank you for listening to and supporting this ministry of God-centered lessons of integrity and victory from the Word of God, and being ever mindful that, as life's challenges come, God's Word is truth and will always impact our lives in a positive way in making us more than conquerors.